Game 2 of the NBA Eastern Conference Playoff Series with the Celtics and the Atlanta Hawks coming up tonight. And to get us ready for that, we're joined by John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hi there, John.
Hey there. Was that abracadabra when leading into me here?
Going to reach out and grab you. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. That's because the Hawks are going to need a little bit of a magic trick to pull off this game tonight.
They are indeed. Celtics had the big lead and then did their Celtics thing, but they ended up with a victory. They don't seem particularly concerned about this. But as you pointed out, John, and I love this quote, it's not all rainbows and puppy dogs.
It's not. It's, you know, the Celtics have to be aware that the Hawks did miss some makeable shots. They missed a bunch of open shots, a bunch of wide open shots. There was a stretch in the second quarter of game one where the Celtics were up by 14, and you had a run of Trae Young and DeAndre Hunter and DeJounte Murray and Sadiq Bey, all missing shots, very makeable, open shots that could have changed the dynamic of that second quarter, and maybe the Celtics don't go into the half up 30. Now, I will also say that if the Celtics don't go into the half up 30, then they don't come out into the third quarter, mess around like they did, and probably go up 30 going into the fourth quarter. So it might not really matter as much because I just don't see much that these Hawks can do. But that doesn't change the fact that the Hawks, some of it was definitely the Celtics' defense, but they do have to be aware, the Celtics have to be aware that there was a certain shooting variance, missing makeable shots that played into that huge early lead.
All right, so for game two tonight, what's the key for the Celtics on defense?
Well, I think just keep going with what they were doing before, making sure that they're rebounding, number one. I think they just got to make sure that they're cleaning up some of the possessions where they gave up three and four offensive rebounds. That has to stop because the Celtics really want to win the possession battle. They really want to win and have more shots taken than the other team. And that's just a stated goal forever. And you just don't want the Hawks getting more cracks at getting going because they are a high-powered offense. Young and Murray and all those guys, they do have the potential to put up a bunch of points. So you got to make sure you're rebounding. You got to make sure you're staying in front of the ball and just communicate and stay active. I loved how they played defensively. It'll be interesting to see if they play the same kind of pick-and-roll coverage and kind of lure the Hawks into those mid-range shots. If they can do that again, and if the Hawks are going to keep doing the Celtics a favor and missing them, then we'll see another easy game.
Offensively for the Celtics, the strength is on the wings, it would seem.
Yeah, I mean, the ability to stretch out that defense is just huge, and I think the Celtics, with their kind of dual looks, I'll say, where you can go with Horford and Robert Williams and play big, or do like you do against the Hawks and play small with Derek White out there, and Horford just pulling Capella away from the rim. That right there is enough to create enough space where the Celtics were getting layup after layup after layup, and they were getting uncontested layups. I mean, they were getting layups. I felt like I wanted to suit up because I thought I could drop like 6 or 8 points on that Hawks defense the way they were going. But in that, the key to that is Al Horford is out there drawing a lot of attention at the three-point line and taking away a lot of help. So I'm curious to see how the Hawks kind of change that, and do they put maybe Clint Capella on Marcus Smart? Or do they go zone and try to take away all of those easy rim opportunities? But then the trade-off is you're probably giving up a lot of three-pointers, and the Celtics are very, very happy to take those three-pointers. And if they are drawing the defense and kicking and getting open looks, then you're just going to get burned a different way.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. What's the latest? Any concern about Jaylen Brown's hand?
No concern at all, really. He's going to go out there with some of the padding on there, like he did the last time, and it might have been one of the reasons why he had a couple of those turnovers. He had, what, 6 in that first game, which is not ideal, obviously, but I think there were a couple where the ball just came out of his hand, so maybe an adjustment on the padding there will help. But he said it split back open, but there's no indication that he had to go get stitched back up or anything like that. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens tonight. But I think everything's a full. He's not in the injury report. So unless he completely changes the way the padding goes, everything's going to be basically the same as game 1.
How important is it for the Celtics to hold that home court advantage?
I'm thinking it would just be nice to get this series over with. I would expect Atlanta to come up with one win in Atlanta. So just handle your business at home, get one of those wins on the road, come back, win the series in 5. I think everybody would be happy with the series ending in 5. Give the ownership a little bit of a boost there with an extra game at home. So you really want the real answer why holding home court is important, because you get that extra home game, and when Jaylen Brown makes All-NBA, the owners will have a couple extra $1 million to throw his way when he gets that Supermax contract.
There you go. Hey, John, I know you talked about this on Boston Sports Journal, and I think on the podcast as well. What do you make of all this talk now based on recent events of getting rid of charging?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of an overreaction. You already can't touch anybody on the perimeter. So you can't just give John Morant a free run at the rim. You know, if everything is a blocking foul, then that's too much. You got to give the defense some kind of advantage. I think there's a middle ground to the recent talk about banning the charge, and that's, I think, creating a flagrant 1 for the late slide in, kind of like the flagrant for sliding underneath somebody's foot when they're shooting a jumper and you got that landing spot foul. I think if you can determine that a guy has slid into a player's path after he's already committed to jumping, and maybe that line of demarcation is a little sooner than it currently is, then you'll see some of that kind of go away. You'll see some of the late slide-ins go away because guys don't want flagrant fouls. But I absolutely want to keep it where if somebody is in position and planted and an offensive player still decides to try to go through it, that's something that you have to be able to call that foul on the offensive player, because defenders have a right to that spot. Defenders have a right to stand in a spot on the court, stand still, and take the hit if a player is going to be out of control. So there is a middle ground. You can't ban it altogether, but I think you can make it so the most dangerous plays, when a guy is already committed to being up in the air, and then you slide under, and then he falls, you know, it happened to Giannis, it happened to John Morant, it happened to Jason Tatum. So, you know, there is precedent here for it to happen in Boston. You just want to make sure that the most dangerous plays are taken away.
Speaking of dangerous plays, now I didn't see it live, but as you've had a chance to watch it, the Draymond Green play, was that as bad as it looked in the highlights?
Yeah, I mean, it's very obvious, and I think we can say from Draymond Green's history that it's another intentional play. Yes, Domantas Sabonis held his foot, but that doesn't excuse a wind up and stomp on his chest that and push off so he can run down the floor. That's just a little too much. And so I understand saying, hey, you know, you don't want to punish a guy for, you know, a reaction to somebody holding his foot as he's trying to run. But at the same time, you can't just stomp on a guy. That can't, you, you, you just can't react in the most violent way possible and say, oh, that's fine, you know, because the other guy was holding his foot. No, it's, you don't get a free shot at the guy because of that. You just pull your foot away and run down the floor. So, but I think it's just another incident where Draymond's too caught up in the moment and too emotional, and he should be suspended for a game, I think, for that, because the wind up and stomp was trying to hurt the guy.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, Locked On Celtics podcast. John, thanks as always. We appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you again next Tuesday.
All right. Talk to you then. See ya.
Celtics Hawks game 2 tonight at the TD Garden. Sees try to go up 2 games to none in that series.